Pretty challenging video, huh? Some of you may remember this video as we've played it the last couple years. I actually keep hoping that they'll do a new video, but they haven't done that because the reality is actually some of the information on there is out of date. On their website that is up to date, it actually says that America now spends, listen to this, $600 billion a year. At Christmas. That's $150 billion more than what it said on the video because they made that about 4 or 5 years ago. So we've increased, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, $150 billion. Now, if you've been here at church over the last 2 years, you've heard me talk about a group of pastors that got together back in 2006, 8 years ago. They got together and they began to talk about how can we do Christmas differently, because they realized, you know, what Christmas was supposed to be and what Christmas had become was totally different. Now, many of us have heard the saying, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? We've all heard that. Maybe you've been familiar with it. I remember a couple years back, they had those lawn signs a lot of people had. Jesus is the reason for the season. And we've heard that. But the reality is, Christmas in our culture has become about really everything but Jesus, right? And so these pastors, they were talking about this, and they started this conversation about how could they do things differently, at least in their churches. How could they recapture the true heart of Christmas? And so out of these conversations with these four pastors came this idea of Advent conspiracy. And so what started with four churches back in 2006 has now grown to thousands of churches worldwide that participate in this thing called Advent conspiracy. Churches that are beginning to encourage their congregations to stop and really think, what is Christmas really about, right? Because there's so many things we make it about that it's not. And so over the next 3 weeks for us here, we're going to be walking through this series titled Advent Conspiracy. And we're going to look at four different topics over the next 3 weeks. We're going to look at worship fully. What does that mean? We're going to look at what it means to spend less and give more. We're going to put those together because they go together well. And then we're going to finish by talking about how we love all. Worship fully. Spend less, give more, love all. And today we're going to start with worship fully. And here's what I'm learning, you know, as you dive into this idea of Advent conspiracy, and it kind of pointed it out there on the video. We won't be people who spend less. We won't be people who give more. We won't be people who love all if we're not learning how to worship fully. It all starts with worship, right? It starts with worship. The season of Christmas, more than anything, is about worship. It's about worship to the King, right? To the King of Kings. And so, worship fully. What is that? What does that even mean, right? And I think for us to fully grasp worship fully, I want to start with the second word first, right? What does it mean to do something fully, right? What does that mean, worship fully? Have you ever done something in your life to the fullest? Have you ever done something where you've given your all, where you've given everything that you had? This is something you hear a lot in sports, right? Where coaches, you know, they'll encourage their teams, you know, go out there on that field or that court or that track, whatever it is, right? You know, and give your all. Lay it all out there. Put it all out there, right? Don't leave anything behind. Now what does that mean? You know, lay it all out there on the court. Lay it all out there on the track or field or whatever. Well, it obviously means we don't hold anything back, right? We push so hard. We push as hard as we can to when we get to the final end, We're not like at the end and going, yeah, man, I still could go another, you know, whatever, because we didn't give our all, right? At the very end, we're spent, we're collapsing, we're falling down. When the clock hits zero, or when we cross that finish line, whatever it may be, we have nothing left to give because we've given our all. We've given fully. God desires that we give fully to Him. And it isn't just at Christmas time. It isn't just for a moment, right? It's a continual thing. It's something that He wants us to do day in and day out. It's living out the greatest commandment, which is loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, right? Loving Him with all that you have, giving Him all that you are. This is what the Lord asks of us. And as hard as it is, and as challenging as it may be, I think if we really stop and think, we can understand why the Lord would want this kind of love from us. Because think about this. I was processing this week. Tell me who out there wants to be loved halfway, part of the time, right? How many be like, yeah, that's me. I want to be loved halfway, part of the time, right? You know, think about this perspective from a parent, right? Because God is our Father, right? And from the perspective of a parent, you know, maybe there are many parents in here, or maybe someday you will be a parent. What parent wants their child, their kid, to love them halfway, part of the time? No one does, right? As parents, we want to be loved all the time. We want our kids to love us, and God's no different. He created us, and He created us for relationship. And we know that He loves us fully, as we talk about Christmas, right? As He gave everything for us, He loves us fully, and He's simply desiring that we just return that love, that we love Him with the same kind of love. So we understand then, I think, I hope here, what fully means. So now, what does it mean to worship? To worship fully. Now, one definition that I found for worship in the dictionary was this. It said, to celebrate the worth of someone or something that is superior to oneself. Okay? Now, the interesting thing about this definition is that it says someone or something, right? So basically, according to this definition, we can worship anything, right? We can worship anything, and oftentimes we do. We do worship anything. But where did this concept of worship come from? When we talk about worship fully, what are we talking about from a biblical perspective? This is a great, you know, Webster dictionary type response here. But what are we talking about from a biblical perspective? Well, the most common use of the word worship in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word Shaka, all right? Shaka, isn't that? That's a cool word to say, you know? Shaka, all right? It means to bow down in reverence. This is what Joshua was referencing last week before we started worship. It means to literally bow down in reverence to others. And we see this happen a lot in the Old Testament. It was custom for the people to bow down in reverence to those who were superior, right? You bow down, whether it's kings or rulers, they would bow down to them in this act of reverence and worship. Now the interesting thing is, early on in the Scripture, the Lord begins to steer His people away from this act towards others, okay? Because His desire is, He didn't want us to worship others. He wanted us to worship Him, right? Now, if you think about this concept towards people, you can understand why God would want to stop this act. because it easily becomes an act of worship towards someone else or something, right? We begin to worship other things instead of the Lord. You are so great. You are so wonderful, right? You know, when we get to that point where we can worship people so much, we want to be like them. And we begin to worship these things. I wish that I could have what you have. I wish I was as great as you. You know, I get this stuff all the time, you know? So, I'm just kidding. Most people are saying the opposite. Oh, man, I'm glad I'm not him, you know? Just kidding. But we do that. We want to be like people. We begin to worship people. And God understands our human nature and how easy it is for us to put people on pedestals, right? To lift them up and to begin to worship people instead of worshiping Him. And this is why the Lord early on in the Scriptures tells us that worshiping anything or anyone else other than the one true God is wrong. We see this happen throughout the Scripture. I want to share a few scriptures with you. I want to share a few illustrations where we see this. Some of you may remember a man named Cornelius in the book of Acts, right? He was a centurion in the Roman army, and the Bible tells us that he was a righteous and God-fearing man, okay? Well, God told him to send some men to go to Peter, right, and to bring Peter back to him. And so they did. His men went out, they got Peter, brought Peter back to him. Now as Peter returns, Cornelius, he's a little starstruck, right? And who wouldn't be? I mean, this is Peter, you know, one of Jesus' disciples. He walked on water, you know, all these great things. And Cornelius became a little starstruck. And so he began to bow down to Peter. And I want to actually read to you what happens, the story here. This is in Acts 10. Verses 25 through 26. You can flip there if you want. If not, I'm just going to read it to you. But this is what happens after sinning for Peter as Peter comes back and is before Cornelius. It says this starting verse 25. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. Right? This is worshiping people here. Verse 26. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. Right? Peter knew he was just a man, no different than Cornelius. No better, no worse than Cornelius. And Peter knew this kind of reverence and worship should only be given to one person. It should only be given to God, to Him. And we actually see a similar situation like this in Revelation, right? In this book, God gives John a glimpse of what heaven will be like and a little look kind of into the future, a prophetic look of things to come. And in this scripture, John gets caught up in the moment and in all the glory and the beauty that he's seen. And there's this point in chapter 19 where an angel enters. And we see John respond much like Cornelius did with Peter. And so I want to read that one too as well. It's Revelation 19. Verse 10. And so as he's seeing all these magnificent things, the glory of God in all these ways, this angel enters in. And it says this in verse 10. It says, at this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said, do not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. And then he basically just says, worship God. Worship God. The angel says almost the same thing that Peter said. Don't worship me. You're not supposed to worship other people, other things. You're supposed to worship God. You see, we have this way of falling into these situations where we begin to worship people. We begin to worship things rather than God. And I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is, as we head into this season of Christmas, the biggest question we have to ask ourselves is, during this season, who or what are we worshiping? Because a lot of people, they worship fully at Christmas, right? But the problem is, they're worshiping the wrong things. So we have to ask ourselves, who or what are we worshiping? Now, some of you may have heard the story before of how I stalked Toby Mac years ago. If you don't know, many of you know that I am a huge Toby Mac fan. Okay, I started listening to him back in 1988 with when he was with DC Talk back then, the early days. It's what got me into rap music, why I began rapping, all that kind of stuff, you know. Heaven bound, don't you know I'm heaven bound. Anyways, that's old school, back 1988. Toby Mac, big fan of Toby Mac, okay. Well, I had this opportunity, it was 12 years ago, and the only reason I remember the exact date was because my wife was pregnant with Toby, right? And so he's 12 years old, so it was a little over 12 years ago. And I got this opportunity. They were coming to Salem for a concert here at the Salem Armory, and had this opportunity to get to go to his concert. And in that, because I'm a youth pastor, I got this thing about, hey, go to this meet and greet up in Portland that day before the concert, and you'll get to meet and greet Toby Mac, right? And you can bring one guest with you. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to go meet Toby Mac. I was so stoked. Well, my wife was pregnant. She couldn't go to the concert and stuff. Sorry, poor her. But I decided to go anyways. But I ended up taking my nephew, who was a freshman at that time in high school, and so I took him up there. So we go up to Portland at this church. And I'm getting frustrated because, you know, it was supposed to start this time and it's like a half hour and they got us playing stupid youth group games, you know, and stuff. But they got held up. I don't know what happened, but something happened that morning and they finally got there. But they said, hey, we're really sorry. They're going to be able to answer a few questions, but then they got to head out of here. So we weren't going to get to do the meet and greet. We weren't going to get to shake his hand, take pictures with him, all that stuff. I'm like, no, Toby, you know, as he's heading out the door, you know. But I'm just like, as he's heading out the door, I'm like, hey, I kind of got over and got a little quick handshake, right? And I'm like, man, I'm so frustrated. I'm there with my nephew, and he said, let's follow him, Uncle Darren. I said, no. Serious? So we hopped in our car, and we followed their van from Portland all the way down to Salem. We're just traveling. We're right behind the van. And we were hoping that maybe they would stop at like a 7-Eleven along the way or stop somewhere to get something. And sure enough, they didn't. They go all the way down. Well, they ended up here, Shiloh Inn, Market Street right there. And they pull in. I'm like, ooh. So I pull in. I get a little bit scared at first, and my nephew's like, come on. You've waited your whole life to meet him, Darren. And so I go into the hotel, and I'm in there, and I'm looking and I see, you know, right there is Kevin and right there is Michael, the other parts of DC Talk, but I didn't care about them. I want to meet Toby Mac. And I'm looking all around and I'm in this hotel and I'm looking and then one of the managers is like, excuse me, can I help you? So I'm like, and I did have to go to the bathroom because we'd been traveling for a long time and driving from Portland. And I said, yeah, do you have a bathroom I can borrow? So I go walk in the bathroom and sure enough, I open up the door and there he is. He's turning around from the urinal, actually, you know. And I was like, can I get a picture of you? And he's like, do you mind if I zip up, you know? And I'm like, yeah, zip up, wash your hands, all that stuff. I would just love to have a picture, man, and so all through this stuff, got a picture with Toby Mac, and anyways, you could, you know, I maybe worshipped, you know, was worshipping Toby Mac a little bit at this time, but you know what's interesting? You know, here I am with Toby Mac, you know, this guy I've wanted to see all my life, and you know how Toby Mac treated me? Like a person. He treated me just like an average person, and you know why? Because he was just an average person. And we have this way, and I did it myself back in the days, we have this way of making people and things more than they are. We have this way of worshiping people and this way of worshiping things, and we do it with anything, right? We do it with rap stars, right? We do it with money. We do it with jobs. We do it with cars. We do it with just power, right? Just we worship the idea of having power and having this prestige. We do it with all these things, you name it. And the thing is, regardless of whether it's a person or a thing, sooner or later, it's going to fail us. Sooner or later, those things are going to fail us. And God knows this. And He loves us. And this is why He tells us, worship Me and worship Me alone. Because I'm the only one that won't fail you. I'm the only one worthy of worship. Amen? Amen. But see, now this raises the question, because you're sitting out there going, well, how do I know that He's really worthy of worship? How do I know that He's not going to fail me like everyone else? That He's not going to abuse His power? Now, I want to say this first before I say what I'm going to say. If God is who He says He is, right? If He is the author of all creation, if He created all things, if He brought everything into existence, if we are the works of His hands, then the reality is He can do whatever the heck He wants, right? He can. I mean, that's the reality. He has the choice. Hey, I created you. I can buy. He can do whatever He wants. If He really is God, He makes the rules. But here's the thing, and the good thing. If He is God, and He is who He says He is according to His Word, and I believe that He is, He will never fail us. He will never abuse His power. You see, we see in His Word that He used His power to love us. He used His power for good. As a matter of fact, He actually gave up His power for our good, right? In the Christmas story, my wife shared it earlier, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. His Son, Jesus, came and gave up His power, right? All that He had in heaven, all that He had, He gave up to come and to be a human here on this earth. He gave up His power and ultimately gave up His life. You know, we celebrate Christmas right here, but we're not too far from Easter. Ultimately, He gave up His life. Why? So that we could live. So that we could have life. The God of this universe who created the world, He gave up His life for us, so that we could live. And if you continue, John 3:17, after 16, we stop a lot of times at John 3:16. 3:17 is just as powerful of a verse. It says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. I don't know about you, but this to me sounds like a God that's worthy of worship. How many other gods have you heard that have done this kind of thing? A God who didn't just create us to be His little robots, but a God who loves us. And guess what? He even loves us when we fail. He even loves us while we were yet sinners, as Stacy said earlier. He loves us even when we don't love Him back. He loved us even after the fall, right? He didn't stop loving us. Instead, He created a way for us to once again be reunited with Him. That's Christmas. That's what Christmas is about. He never left us. He never forsake us. Even when we've left and forsaken Him, this is why He's worthy of our worship. This is why He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship. And see, His desire is that we would learn to just worship Him fully. Right? If we could just figure that out, our lives would be so much better. That we would worship Him fully, that we wouldn't hold back. And when you think about this, you're like, well, why does He care that we give Him our all? Well, I think He cares because it's the nature of who He is. It's who He is. He wouldn't ask us to do something, and that's what I love about our God, the God. He wouldn't ask us to do something that He Himself wouldn't do. God Himself gave us His best, right? He sent His one and only Son. He spared no expense for us. And all He's asking is that we would do the same for Him. He would never ask us to do something that He wouldn't do Himself. As we enter this season of Christmas, we need to make sure that we're taking time to stop and think about the true meaning of Christmas, not what the world has made Christmas, not $600 billion a year that we spend on useless gifts. Now, there are some things that are good and that are great, but there is so much of that that is just useless stuff that puts us into debt. What is the true meaning of Christmas? The fact that 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son down to earth to give us His all, right? Why did He do it? So a way could be made for us once again to be able to give Him our all. We were created to be in relationship with Him and to worship Him. And I encourage you this Christmas season to make sure that you are taking the time first and foremost to worship Him fully, because that's what Christmas is all about. Right, Charlie Brown? That's what Christmas is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for who You are, Lord. You are the God of this universe, who loved us so much that You gave Your life so that we could have life. And Lord, it's still hard for me to fathom that at times, to understand why You would do that. People that continue to fail You, people that continue to mess up, people that continue to sin, and You continue to pour out Your grace and You continue to love passionately, Lord. What an amazing God we serve. Lord, I know the world sometimes thinks of You as this judge and jury up there, but that is far from who You are. You are a God that loves us. You've done these things and You ask these things simply because You want relationship with us. You want to spend eternity with us. That's another one that's hard to imagine, why You want to be with me and all my failures and in all my weaknesses. But You desire to see me become the righteous man of God that You created me to be. You desire for all of us to become the righteous people of God that You've called us to be, that we may live the life that You've called us to live. And so, Lord, we come before You this morning. We just pray that as we walk into this Christmas season, that, Lord, we would make sure that our priorities are right, our priorities are straight, and that first and foremost, we realize this season is about worship. Worship to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is worthy to be praised. Lord, we thank You and praise You for this time. May these words today penetrate our hearts and challenge us to honor You and glorify You this season, Lord, in all that we do. We thank You and we praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.